Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore Jr.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. At this time, we're going to stand one more time, amen, and we're going to meet, we're going to greet. We're not going to meet him. We already know him, but we're going to greet our man of God, amen, with a hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm just grateful and honored to be here today for everyone that is here. Just glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Thank you for your prayers on last evening. Was a little under the weather. We drove down to Delaware on last evening. Actually, it was yesterday afternoon. Wasn't feeling that great when I left the house, but we did have some business to attend to. And so God gave us strength, but felt a little weak. You know, and I'm getting a little older. I got to see Brokaw this week, and we were laughing about, you know, the things that we have to do to keep our bodies going, you know. And I was saying to her, you know, it's so important to stretch, to keep those muscles loose, because, I mean, that's one of the things that I do now. I have to do that. I do work out four times a week, but what I do every single day of the week is stretch. That is paramount. And if you start it while you're young, it won't be as difficult when you get older. But I thank God for, you know, for renewing my strength. Thank you all for your prayers. Thank my wife for her prayers and for reaching out to you. Because I was feeling a little under the weather. I thought I might not be able to brave it out this morning. But thank God for he gave me strength to be out here on this morning. So just so grateful for your prayers. And I'm going to say a word of prayer, then I'm just going to share a testimony. I'm not going to be long today, but the Lord did give me a word to share along with that testimony. But I do want to share this because sometimes you start to wonder, you wonder how you connect the things that the Lord is doing in your lives. And sometimes you don't see the connection or you don't see it right away. You kind of sense it, but you don't see it. But when you see it, particularly when you see the evidence of something that he's doing, something that that really just touches your heart, then you kind of, it gives you the onus to like stay a little longer or to do it a little longer. And I was so blessed on yesterday, so glad that I really did have the opportunity to go to Delaware, because it seemed like everything that could possibly stop that from happening on yesterday, it happened. I mean, everything that we had planned, everything that normally happens, you know, we kind of got our little budget and everything, you know, worked out. And it seemed like every check came late, and I mean, I'm serious. It's like, and then when we got home last night, the checks was in the mail. I thought, well, yeah, now you come. But it was a real challenge getting to Delaware yesterday. But we braved it out, and we somehow were able to go there. And you know, once we got there, I really was able to see why the enemy was fighting us so hard to get there. I'm gonna share that with you, but let's pray first. Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here again. We thank you, Father, for strengthening us by your Spirit and for touching the hearts and minds of those who just reached out to us in prayer, interceded on our behalf. We give you praise for that. We're grateful and we're thankful always, Father, for every good thing that you do in our lives. You gave us your precious Son, Jesus, who gave his life, and you have given us your Holy Spirit, who is abided here with us for these last 2,000 years. We don't take these things for granted. But we are grateful for everything that you're doing in our lives. I voluntarily decrease now that Holy Spirit may increase, that your word will come forth in power under the anointing. And as always, I believe that people will be saved, healed, delivered, and set free from every yoke and bondage. I thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, you might have your seats. Again, we were pressing our way, and Darlene was at work, and we were going back and forth. But, you know, you ever do the what do you think, or what do you think? So we were just going back and forth with that. And even at one point, I said, well, you know, you just may have to call Dawn and just cancel out and just, you know, not cancel, but postpone and then reschedule. And but I really see now. But Darlene, I got to tell you, she was very adamant about, you know, about going. And it was a business meeting, and it's something that we could have rescheduled, you know, for another time. But a couple of things that came into play there. The one is when you get a new, and you guys know this because you've been in business with us. When you get a new business partner, you want them to stay encouraged. And she's been very she joined
last week,
so she's been very engaged and just really on top of things, which she kind of wasn't the first time we were doing business with her. But there's a difference, and Dolly and I were talking about this. And she said, "Dawn is different now." I said, "Yeah, no." But she recently moved to Delaware, I guess about a year ago now, and she was living in South Plainfield, I believe it was, or Plainfield. Oh, yeah, okay. So, but anyway, she was living in the area, so now she's living in Delaware. And we were really, when we contacted her a couple of weeks ago, she loved the idea of what we were doing, blah, blah, blah. So she reached out to Darlene and said, you know what? I'm ready. And so when she planned this business meeting, we were quite surprised because Dawn usually moves a little slow. She moved, but, you know, she kind of moves a little slow. So we're very, very pleasantly surprised. She's very excited, and we're communicating back and forth. So I'm normally never sick. I mean, glory to God. I have been, you know, 64 years old. I've been very, very healthy, other than just dealing, you know, sometimes periodically with high blood pressure. But other than that, I can give God the glory. You know, I've been very, very healthy. And but yesterday, I just wasn't feeling it. I mean, I was telling Darlene, it was just like something right here. It was like something was stuck, and it was, you know, I was having a little trouble, well, not a lot, but kind of like a little trouble breathing, and I just didn't feel myself. I just didn't feel right. So, but I said, maybe I drink some soda, because I'm not a soda drinker. You know, I just drink juice now, 100% juice. But so maybe if I can drink something with seltzer in it, maybe better push down whatever it is. I'm thinking of everything. You know, laying hands on myself, hook on my side. He came in a Honda and a Volkswagen, but none of that was working. So I just said, well, you know, I said, well, we're just going to go ahead. So, but I didn't mention anything to Darlene. You know, I don't believe I did. But anyway, when I got there, I had to take some time to set everything up. So I start feeling like really like, you know, I don't feel like doing this, you know. Then the worst thing in the world that you can, any business person, you can say, I hope nobody shows up. I started thinking, I believe me. I didn't speak it out of my mouth because I know what can happen when you do that. But I really started thinking, oh, I hope nobody shows up because I just really don't feel like going through this because I'm thinking this is going to be about a 35-minute presentation, which means I got to stand up here and talk the whole time. I got to grin and I'm not tickled, you know. So I'm just thinking all of these things. I really was. I'm thinking, and that's why I got tickled. You didn't see my face, but I was tickled when you were talking about, I'm going to call Pastor Reed. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to handle this. Well, it was different circumstances, but I was going through that same kind of talking to myself type of thing. That's why you kind of, that's why I'm good to give testimonies, because other people can start relating to saying, well, gosh, she was going through that, I was going through that at the same time. Different thing, but the same emotions were attached.
Yeah.
So needless to say, when we got started, it was a couple of people there. So, and you know, if it's one, you've got to perform. I mean, you know, that's your partner, you're growing your business, and people expect you to be excited. You know, like, y'all don't expect me to come be. I know Ruth wouldn't be here if I was talking like this. Well, you know, we just glad that God is just good to us. Y'all be like, I'm out. So you've got to bring some enthusiasm. You know, no matter what you're presenting, be it business or ministry, you've got to have some passion and enthusiasm. So I just talked to myself and told myself, listen, you have to do this. This is what you do. You know, of course, it's a two-hour ride already. And then I'm thinking of that, okay, I got 2 hours to drive back home, and I know homegirl is not going to drive. So all of these things is coming into play in my mind. But as it turned out, there were really nice people that ended up coming. I mean, just really very engaging people. And sometimes, you know, you guys know, you get in a meeting and, you know, you get just knuckleheads. Let me say, just knuckleheads. You just don't even, you want to just... just slap them. I mean, you just get knuckleheads. But these people were just very, very nice. The first two that were there. And so as the meeting went on, you know, I really started feeling better. Sort of like you do when you come to church. You're not feeling well, you know, when you're leaving the house. But this is the hospital. People, I'm staying home because I'm sick. Well, hello, you go to the hospital when you're sick. This is the spiritual hospital.
Yeah.
So if you're not feeling well, that's when you really want to come to church. But you know, we went on and we were doing the presentation, and in the middle of the presentation, about three more people showed up. Just very engaging people. And you know, Darlene normally, she won't do the presentation. She says it's too hard. She hasn't learned it. I'm just throwing you under the bus this morning because I got the mic. So she just won't do it, and you know, I'll support you. I'll do the slides. You know, I get on the laptop and I click it so I can go to the next slide. And so she's supportive, but she was kind of, and I could feel her looking at me, but I wouldn't look at her. You ever been in a, now you guys are married, so you ever been in a place where you know Nikki's looking at you and you know she's giving you that, what are you doing, look, but you will not give her eye contact? That's what I was doing yesterday. I know you're going for it. So, you know, I wouldn't give her eye contact, but I could feel her. You ever just could feel somebody? I could feel her, you know, because I knew that I had strayed so far away from the presentation. I mean, boldly going where I'd never been before. I'm talking boldly. So I could feel her looking at me like, what are you doing? So, but here's what happened, though. Sometimes, even in business, and I'm going to get to this scripture that I'm going to share with you, but sometimes, even in business, you have to really be led of the Lord. You know, you can't just, you know, you got your standard presentation, and 99% of the time, I have to tell you, I'm all business, you know. When I'm here, I'm ministry. When I'm here, I'm Pastor Bazemore. But when I'm out doing my business, I'm National Executive John Bazemore. I'm not just pastor then. It's a job. It's a business. There are certain things legally that you have to say to make sure that when you're doing your presentation, if somebody is there, you know, examining what you're doing or examining your business or seeing if you're saying things that you don't supposed to say, you got to make sure you're on point. Well, yesterday, that kind of just like, normally, like I say, I'm not like this, but yesterday, Trey, I just went for it. I mean, Pastor Bazemore was all up in that presentation. I mean, I was just all up in it. I was talking spiritual things. I kept saying, you know, mentioning scriptures. And then I apologized a couple of times, but as it turned out, everybody that were there were believers. So, and I apologized, and the one lady, Stephanie, she said, you don't have to apologize. And then the second time I apologized, they kind of looked at me like, seriously, dude? Will you just go ahead and say what God has given you to say? So by this time, you know, I said, okay, darling, go to the next side, and I could hear like, finally, you know? So, I mean, this really happened yesterday. I'm telling you, this normally do not happen, but this really happened. So now I was saying to myself, John, what in the world are you doing? And then I got lost because I didn't even know where I was in the presentation anymore. So I looked at the slides and I was like, oh my gosh. I didn't say it out loud, but I looked and I said, I am just completely, I mean, I was almost at like the last slide and I should have been at like the seventh slide. So I was just like, oh, and it's 32 slides. So that'll give you an idea of how far off I was. But now here's what happens. Here's what happens. Sometimes when you're so adamant about just going through your presentation and not giving the Spirit of God the opportunity to minister to other people that are there, you really miss God. Because now, as it turns out, four of the five people there are becoming partners. That is highly unusual. And I tell you this, it sure was not because of my presentation. I'm telling you, it was not because of my presentation, because I was completely off point. But God was on point. God was on point. And I said that to say this. Sometimes when you're feeling your worst, when you feel as though you know what you're supposed to be doing, you know how you're supposed, and believe me, guys, I'm not one to just improvise all of the time. I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to use me, but I know more times than not, He's going to use you to give your word, to plan it, so you can deliver it when it's time to deliver it. And that's normally what I do. But I was so off point yesterday. I mean, and Dwayne Eddings, he's the diamond, And we reached out and called him, and he said, and me and Darlene kind of chuckled. He said, well, I know, because he just, you know, we called him so he could speak to everybody there. And he said, well, I know Pastor Bazemore there. I know y'all got an excellent presentation. They were like, amen. And I just looked at Darlene like, they have no idea how off point I was. But the bottom line is God was able to use. Now, and I said that to get to this point. There was one young lady there, Stephanie. I didn't know this until we were on our way home, you know, what she had said to Darlene. But now when I, you know, normally when the meeting is over, I go over. Now, guys, I'm giving my testimony, so y'all allow me to do this. So normally when I do, when the meeting is over, I go over and I greet everybody, ask you if you have any questions, how did you enjoy the presentation, did you see anything there that interested you, blah, blah, blah. Went through all of that. I went over to the table, I was talking to the one guy there who was a minister. As it turns out, he's a minister, very interested, just real excited. I mean, just the whole nine. I mean, the meeting turned out really well. And we were just so thinking, we have completely wasted our time coming all the way to Delaware. And it turned out to be the exact opposite. After talking to him, I went up to the table where Darlene and this girl, Stephanie, and her friend Dawn was, who hosted the meeting. And she was sitting there, I mean, just kind of like, looking like amazed. So when we started talking, she started sharing with me how she's going through this real financial struggle. She went to the human resource department and they told her, you know, because of everything that she's going through, she needs tax write-offs and all of this. She had no idea when she was coming, you know, that she was coming there for an opportunity, you know, to have a business franchise. She thought she was coming there to a travel party to get information about brochures and, you know, how they can travel cheaper. She just didn't know. So when I started talking about the home-based business and all of that, at first she was just kind of nodding, and then she got really quiet. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're doing a presentation, even when you're preaching, you know, people are getting with you, and then all of a sudden they get quiet. You stop thinking, oh, I must have said something that struck a nerve. So, and this is what I thought yesterday, because she just got really quiet all of a sudden. And I just noticed one time in the presentation, she just raised her hand, but she never looked up at me again. So I said, well, I must have said something that offended her. So as it turns out, when she met with the human resource department, they told her, in your situation, you need to find yourself somebody that can help you to get a home-based business. A home-based business so that you can get out of this because you need a tax write-off, you need blah, blah. I mean, just everything that I said, I mean, it's like she said it was like you were in that meeting with me and Human Resources. She said, I just couldn't believe it. And she was standing there with tears in her eyes and then Darlene told me the same thing happened even before I came over there. But I said that to say, you've got to learn to be obedient to what the Spirit of God is saying and doing. Because sometimes you put the onus on you because of how you feel. You know, you feel like you got to react a certain way. Because I wasn't feeling well, so I just felt like I'm just going to give a presentation and I'm out of here. I mean, that's basically, I really did, because that's basically how I was feeling. But as it turns out, I allowed the Lord to use me in a way that as a matter of fact, I've never done that in a business presentation, even when I was in the corporate world. I've never gotten off point like that. Never, ever. Now, people do that. I'm not one to do it. You know, when I have something to say, I stay on point. I have my notes. I make sure that people get the information to make an informed decision. That's always my mindset. Well, the information they needed was not on that screen they were looking at. It was not there. But it came from the Spirit of God. And I ministered the whole time I was standing up there. I was ministering. I remember even saying that I don't know who it is that I came here for today, but God sent me here today so that I could give you this information, because God is going to use this information to help you to get you from where you are to where you need to be. Yeah. I had no idea. I had no clue. And I'm standing up there. I mean, they should have gave me an after offering the way I was talking yesterday. I'm telling Pat, I'm serious. Am I kidding, Dolly? I'm serious. I was bringing the word. I mean, I was quoting scripture, you know, talking about what God did from the foundation of the world. I'm telling what I said to him. I said, listen, the first two words that God spoke to mankind, I said, he could have said anything he wanted. Now, I'm doing a vacation travel presentation,
presentation. And I'm standing there talking about what God has put inside of you from the foundation of the world. I said, God can say anything to mankind he wanted, but the first two words that he said to mankind was be fruitful. And if he said it then, he means it now. And they just clapping out up there, you are so going to get in trouble. You are so off point. But I thank God that, yeah, Drew.
Okay, what you've done to me now, and I just have to say this.
Yes, ma'am.
Right now.
Uh-huh.
That's two things. Number one, that's one of the joys of aging.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that you're 64 is great.
Uh-huh.
And you'll be maybe 84 or 94 soon, so you'll be able to do it. And then this is why I've always loved live theater.
Uh-huh.
You go to see a movie, it's the same, it's the same, it's the same.
Yes.
When you go to the theater,
uh-huh,
the audience reacts to you. You react to the audience.
That is true.
And this was live theater, and it was...
Yes, it was.
I'm sorry I wasn't there.
Me too, Grandma. Well, she's absolutely right. It really was just like live theater, because I believe me, I did not plan any of that. But when I tell you that I was ministering, I'm not joking. I mean, I was like, I was here. You know, I mean, they really should have come today, because it would probably have been better for them, because yesterday, they really did not get the real presentation, but they joined. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, how God was using that. So, and I said that to say this. We want to make sure that you're always in a place where you can hear God when he's speaking.
Yes.
That nothing is more important than that.
Yes.
I got 7 o'clock, maybe 6 o'clock this morning, someone inboxed me. And I'm going to forward it to you guys, but they inboxed me this thing. It was like a video, but the video was, it wasn't a video showing people. It was a video showing words, but it was a word story in a video type format. Bless my heart, and I mean, it literally almost had me in tears. And I said, Darlene, you got to read this. I said, you got to read this. So I let her read it, and then she was really blessed by it too. She said, boy, that was a real blessing. So then don't worry about Trey, he's good. So then I forwarded that, y'all, there you go. Eyes forward. So I forwarded that to maybe 15 or 20 people, because I wanted them to be the recipient of that. And I'm saying all of that to say this. When God says something in his word, you got to take it literally. Not just figuratively, but you got to take it literally. Now, if you go to Matthew 9:27 through 29, you've heard me preach this a million times if you've heard me preach it once. But now it says this, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him crying, and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, believe you that I'm able to do this? And they said unto him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. So now I want to talk about the importance of faith, the rudiments of faith, and the things that we see in it, how we can exercise it, the things that Jesus said about it. Whenever Jesus was teaching his disciples, he would use parables, which are stories, illustrations to get his, don't worry about it, illustrations to get his word across. So, and I want to go back to a story that we've all heard, but it was interesting to me because of the dynamics of that story, and I want to read it to you. It's Mark 11, starting at verse 13, and it says, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the times of figs were not. It says were not yet, but that yet was actually added. That's in italics, which means it was added later. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eats fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, first of all, there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, the Bible says that he answered the fig tree, which means he was having a conversation with a fig tree. Now, I know that sounds kind of crazy, but you don't answer anything unless somebody has already said something to you or presented a question to you, which makes me believe that Jesus asked the fig tree, why don't you have any figs on you? You know, when there are leaves budding like that, and at that time the fig trees in Jerusalem would bud twice a year, in the spring and the fall. And they would, as the leaves began to bloom, then the figs would grow as the leaves are blooming. So he expected figs to be on the tree because there were leaves on the tree. So I'm sure he asked the tree, well, why don't you have figs on you? Because there is an expectation that God has of all of us. You know, if there are leaves on you, then God expects you to be producing fruit. But now, if you're looking like, if you have the appearance of godliness, if you have the appearance of being a disciple, if you have the appearance of having something that can be a blessing to someone else, but yet when people dig deep out, deep down inside of you, and there's nothing there, there's no fruit there, then God's going to hold us accountable for that. So it's not good enough just to look the part. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. It's not good enough to look like you have faith. You got to be able to exercise the faith that God gives. And God gives us faith supernaturally. This is not, see, there's a faith that that we all have that God has given us, and then there's the gift of faith that God would give us at certain times supernaturally to do things that people are not normally able to do. Now, this is a gift. This is not something that everybody has. This is distributed by the Holy Spirit at His discretion. But now, there's a seed that was placed inside of us, the seed of faith that all of us have. You are expected to use that. Faith is the currency of heaven. You got to understand this. Faith is really the currency of heaven. That is the exchange that is used in that realm to get your blessings to you. Now, how many of you besides me are waiting for your blessing? Anybody besides me? So now here's what you got to understand. It doesn't matter how long you waited. It doesn't matter how many good things you do, believing that God, because you've done good things, He's going to bless you. God doesn't bless us because we do good things. He blesses us because He loves us. We've got to understand that whether we do good things or not. I mean, I have five children, and let me tell you something. They took me literally through a living hell. I mean, I'm telling you, every one of them in their own way just caused me an abundance of stress. But now, at no point in time did my love for them come into play. Because now, what they were doing and what the way they were acting had nothing to do with how I felt about them. It didn't change. Now, I'll tell you this. I love them, but I didn't like them. Now, I'll be honest. There were times I did not lie. I wanted to give my children away. I did not like them. Now, I know y'all can't relate to that, but I didn't like them. I didn't want to be around them. I didn't want to hear their voices. I didn't want to talk to them. I didn't want to go to their schools to help them. I didn't even want to feed them. I didn't like them. I just didn't like them. I mean, you know, when kids become teenagers, and, you know, now I know this young couple in here don't know anything about that yet, but all I can say is keep on living. Keep on living. You got three, so just keep on living. You know, I'm not trying to declare anything. I just know what happens when kids become teenagers. You get dumb and they get smart. This is how the cycle goes. And then when they become grown in their 20s, they get their brains back, you know, but while they're teenagers, they completely lose their minds. So I didn't stop loving them. There was nothing inside of me that made me want to stop loving them. But honestly, I didn't want to be around them. But I'm saying that to say, regardless of how we feel or what we do, we never lose the love of God. Yes. God, there's no point. There's nothing. The worst criminal in this world, the worst Arab over in the other countries that's chopping people's heads off. Do you not realize that God still loves them?
Yes.
He don't like what they're doing, but until they leave this earth, he realizes that there is an opportunity that by His word or by the Spirit of God, their lives can change. Can you imagine one Muslim, you know, changing and giving their life to Christ, the testimony that they could be? Can you imagine one unbeliever in this country, you know, whose life, I mean, they're just hellions? Just to give an example, Peter was mean. He was mean. He was a big mouth, and he was mean. He didn't take no stuff. I mean, you could tell right from the Bible. He challenged anything you had to say. You ever know people like that? No matter what you say in the pastor, you know. Come on, man. Yeah, that was Peter. Peter would challenge everything, and he was the only one in the Bible that of the disciples that rebuked Jesus. He waited, at least he had the respect to wait for everybody else to leave. Then he pulled him to the side and said, "Come on, Lord, stop it. You know," he said, what he said was in the Bible, "far be it from you." Well, what he was really saying, you know you're not telling the truth. That's not going to happen. But Jesus didn't respond to him. He responded to the Spirit that was speaking through him. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to God." He didn't address Peter because Peter was being used. How many of y'all know that the enemy will use other people to speak a lie to you?
Yes, yes.
And see, sometimes we're reacting to people, and we're not reacting to the Spirit that is using them. See, people, the enemy will will use people to destroy and to manipulate your faith. They know that you're believing. They know what you're believing God for. The enemy knows because he's heard your prayers. So what does he do? He assigns people, assigns spirits to work through people to discourage you, to tell you, don't go to that meeting. You know, you don't feel good. You can postpone it and go another time. But see, what we've got to realize when we stay the course and obey God, there is somebody there that God is going to use you to be a blessing to. And when God blesses them, then you in turn will be blessed as well. You've got to see this thing. So when Jesus rebuked that fig tree, he was literally saying, listen, there's an expectation that I have of you, and you have been here because these trees, it takes them 3 years to produce leaves and figs. Now, so that tree had come to the place where it was expected to bear fruit. You cannot be a baby believer forever. You cannot be the person forever that's leaning on, well, I'm a new Christian. At some point in time, you've got to take the responsibility of bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. You cannot use excuses all of the time to say, well, I'm new, so God, you know, you have to kind of pull back on your expectations. No. Jesus not only had expectations, but Ruth, he cursed the tree for not being productive. Y'all better get this thing. There was an expectation that he had, and while his disciples were watching, he wanted them to see a lesson. He cursed the tree. Now, if you go, well, this is good stuff. I don't know if it's good stuff to me. And the next morning, the Bible says, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up. Now, listen, from the roots. Now, there's a way that a tree would dry up, but the rest of the tree still looks okay. But when something dries up from the root, now, normally it takes years for something to dry up from the root. But because of the power of the word that Jesus was speaking, the moment that he spoke, that thing began to dry up. Now, the disciples noticed this, and Peter, of all people, Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold the fig tree, which thou cursed, is withered away. Now, here's where the story begins for us. And Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. What is that? He said, verily I say unto you, this is what I liked about Jesus. He don't just tell you something straight, and he don't tell you how to do it. See, people, they talk about faith, but then they don't tell you, well, how do I do faith? How does faith work? So Jesus told them, he said, listen, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. He was giving an example. Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Now, so what makes the tree obey and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass? What will happen? He shall have whatsoever he believes. No, he shall have whatsoever he says.
Yes.
Did y'all get that?
Yes.
So now you don't have to so much, you know, say I believe. You just have to believe and then speak to what you want to happen to come forth.
Yes. Yes.
So now it's telling me that when I make confessions that are not of faith, I should not expect to see a result. But now when I make a confession based on what I believe in my heart, then I should expect that what I've said shall come to pass. Otherwise, the Bible is not credible, and there's no need for us to be even come here anymore. Yeah. So now, if Jesus said you can have whatsoever you said, that means what? You can have whatsoever you said. That's not a trick question, guys. So now, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. So now he told a story. He gave the recipe to get the things that you want. So then he went on to say, now, this is what I want you to do. Whatever you have in your heart that you really desire, therefore, what things soever you desire, when you pray. Now, this is what I said to them yesterday, didn't I, Dolly? I said, desire is so important that Jesus mentioned desire before he did prayer.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Now, let me tell you why. Nikki, let me tell you something. I don't care how much you pray. If you don't have a passion for what you're praying about, it's not going to happen. The Bible says in the book of James that the effectual what? Fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. So what does it mean? It means a hot prayer, a passionate prayer, a prayer of desire. When you really desire something when you pray, you can literally, have you ever just really wanted something so bad you could feel it?
Yes.
You ever been someplace and you saw something, and as you're driving home, you start tasting? I've been, That's what happened yesterday. I was so hungry yesterday. I told Don, I said, well, look, Darlene and I have to leave because if we don't leave, I'm about to bite your arm. I was that hungry. I'm telling you, I was so hungry. And you know, I start having this desire for, what do they call those? We stopped at the rest stop, and there was this cinnamon bun. Is that what it's called? Cinnabon. And they had the juiciest cinnamon bun. And on the now, I kind of got the picture in my mind, but because I was on my way to a presentation, I didn't buy it because I didn't want to have sticky little white gummy stuff all in my mouth. And so I didn't buy it, but you know what happened? As soon as I got in the car and got some gas, when I got on, on 95, I started tasting that Cinnabon in my mouth. Because I saw that thing with my eyes, and it created a desire in my heart to have it, and I started tasting that thing in my mouth. That's what real desire is. You don't have to see it. You don't have to know it, but there's something inside of you that you want it so bad that you can see. Anybody here just want a house besides me?
Yes.
See, here's when you get it. When you see yourself in that kitchen cooking. When you see the stove, when you see, now let me tell you how real this thing is to me, Pat. I see Eric and Narelle and Tiana and Jamar and Janelle and Rashid and Troy and Tanisha and Tawan and what's her name? Chris. You know, I don't know if y'all know he's engaged now. So I see them at our house, and I see them sitting around our bar area in the kitchen. You know, they have the little bar stools. I see them sitting around there. I see people in the family room, and I see myself over in the corner by the fireplace just enjoying my family, my children and my grandchildren. You've got to see this thing in your heart, not with your eyes, but you've got to see it in your heart. You've got to create a desire to have this thing. And Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and what? Yes. You will have it. Yes. So I thank God for the beautiful house that I have with 5 or 6 bedrooms where my grandchildren are there. They go outside in the summertime and they get in this beautiful pool, this 20 by 40 swimming pool, while Darlene and I and the kids, we're sitting on the bank by the lake that's right in the back of our house, and we enjoy them. Hallelujah. Do y'all see this thing?
Yes.
What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, past tense, and you will have it.
Yes.
So you've got to see yourself enjoying that thing real time. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Your mind does not know the difference. Your imagination does not know the difference between what's real and what you imagine. Once you get that thing in your mind does not know. You're only imagining that. When you start feeling that thing in your heart, it believes that it's real.
Yes.
And it starts becoming real. Hallelujah. Do y'all hear me? It starts becoming real.
Yes.
Glory to God. I can't wait. I can smell the smell of my Porsche Panorama. I can smell the Panorama 4S, Pat. I can smell the leather seats. My God. How many of y'all get excited about God wanting to be a blessing to you?
Yes.
I'm just excited about what God wants to do. I am so glad that God really pressed us to press on, to go to that meeting yesterday, because it was such a blessing.
Amen.
First of all, we met 5 people that we never knew before. Just all of them were real blessings. Just really nice people. I mean, just I'm talking about really nice people. They asked for our phone numbers, and we were able to give them a voucher just for coming to the meeting for a 3-night stay at a 4-star hotel, complimentary of our business. It was amazing. It was nice. I mean, we just had an amazing time, and I left there, and I was feeling real good until I got home, and then, you know, my mind started wandering to other things, and then, you know what, I'm going to tell you something. Isn't that amazing? I just thought about this. When your mind believes that you're healed, do you know that you're healed? So you can't talk yourself out of the blessing that God has given you. How many of y'all know you can't talk yourself out of the blessing?
Yeah.
When God says you're blessed, you're blessed. When God says you're healed, you're healed.
Yeah.
When God says you're delivered, you're delivered.
Yeah.
When God sets you free, you're set free. Whomever the Son of Man sets free, he's free indeed.
Yes. Yes.
You've got to believe that.
Yes.
So we need to leave this place today believing that we received the thing that God has promised and rejoicing for it. You know what? Our praise reports should be praise reports of the things that we don't even see yet. Do y'all hear me? We should be thanking God for the things that we don't see, but we believe that we received already in the name of Jesus. So let me start it out. I thank God for this beautiful home that He's given me in Myrtle, this getaway home in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. God, I thank you for our beautiful getaway home with 5 or 6 bedrooms. I thank you for this beautiful gourmet kitchen so my wife can do all the cooking. I thank you, God. I thank you for this beautiful swimming pool that my grandchildren can enjoy. I thank you, Father, for this place that my children can have when they need to get away and have some place to get away. I thank you for this place that we have our meeting, our business meeting for our ministry in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, by the pool. Come on and give God some praise, everybody. Hallelujah. Business meeting by the pool. Can y'all receive that thing in Jesus' name? So we're just excited for what God is doing, but I really did want to share that testimony with you because I know sometimes we get a little discouraged and get a little disheartened because we don't see the manifestation of what God has promised. But now I'm learning. Now, I haven't learned, but I'm learning now that the more I confess and talk about what I believe that I've received already, the closer I get to it.
Yes.
Because I'm just tricking my mind until my faith catches up. Did y'all hear that?
Yes.
I'm tricking my mind until my faith catches up. So I have to confess it and confess it and confess it. You know, there's evidence of that. There's something that I believe God for. And I noticed that when I believed that I didn't have it, but I start visualizing having it. I start visualizing, you know, what it would feel like to hold it and to hug it and to be married to it. And, you know, I start visualizing that thing and, you know, what it would be like, you know, going out with her and what it would be like, you know, being married to her for all of these years. And even when she was telling me no several times, I kept visualizing and I kept pressing forward. And I said, now, if I can visualize that, and we've been married for 14 years now, why can't you use that same type of energy and vision to get the things that God has promised? And these are things that God has promised, which you know are going to happen, but now you don't want to wait. Listen, I don't have the faith of Abraham. I'm not confessing that faith. I don't have the faith of Abraham. I'm not waiting no 25 years for my blessing. I'm not waiting 25 years. Now, I'm telling you right, I'm not waiting no 25 years. Lord, I'm not waiting 25 years. I'm declaring Abraham doubted. You know, he wavered at one time, but yet, you know, God still gave him the promise. So I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to doubt. I'm believing. I'm declaring it's mine.
Yes.
So y'all can wait if you want to, but I'm declaring mine now.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Stand up, y'all. Hallelujah. I'm just glad to have the opportunity to share with you today. I'm real excited. Feeling so much better in my physical body. And even as I was preaching, I just started feeling even better.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.